This Week in Radio Tech, episode 265, is brought to you by Lavvo and the Crystal Clear Virtual Radio Console. Crystal Clear is the console with a multi-touch touchscreen interface. By the new Omnia 7 FM, HD, and streaming audio processor with Undo technology. Omnia 7, a mid-priced processor with the sound and features you love. And by Axia Livewire Plus. Livewire Plus includes fully compliant AES-67 audio over IP built-in. Livewire convenience plus worldwide connectivity. Live from Sydney, Australia, we're meeting with broadcast engineers and manufacturers at SMPTE 2015. From audio production tools to a look inside a new solid-state FM transmitter, we're taking you inside this popular show. Stephen Wilkinson from Hope 103.2 joins Kirk Harnack on This Week in Radio Tech.
Hey, welcome in. It's Kirk Harnack on This Week in Radio Tech. Delighted that you're here, and I'm delighted to be right here. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you.
Well, this is Stephen Wilkinson. I'm Kirk Harnack. And hey, I forgot to ask, is Chris Tobin in studio or not today? I totally forgot to ask. Maybe he is not. Okay, well, it's going to be you and me then. So sad that Chris isn't here, but he'll be here. He'll be back next week.
Oh, that'd be great to see.
By the way, as long as I'm thinking of it, because I'm an old man, if I think of it, I better say it. Next week on the show, I believe our guest is Alex Koziorek. He is a fabulous audio engineer from somewhere in the Southwest, Tucson maybe, and he does classical music recording. He's going to teach us about recording technique. So
yeah. It's a little bit different, isn't it, with classical music?
It's different than these, loud morning DJs. Breakfast shows.
Well, rock and roll music.
So we're coming to you live right now, if you're watching the show live. We're coming to you from Sydney, Australia. I'm in the western suburbs of Sydney in an area called, Seven Hills?
Seven Hills, yes.
Yeah. And we are at a station called, if you haven't seen in the background yet, Hope 103.2.
Yes.
Stephen, you've been a guest here before, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Stephen, you are the technical operations manager here.
Yes, I oversee all IT, broadcast engineering, and even the property.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they make you cut the grass?
No. Okay. Thank goodness.
and I believe your significant other works here as well.
Yes, my wife is the marketing manager, hence the reason for having the call flutes in the background.
The signs?
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So why am I here and why is Stephen here? Well, first of all, I'm here because of a big trade show. It's like the NAB, but it's in Australia every 2 years. It's called SMPTE. Now, SMPTE is the Society of Motion, Picture, and Television Engineers, and they include some radio. They're kind enough to do that. And so every 2 years, they have a trade show. It's all technical for engineers, and so they have a lot of television gear and television cameras and lighting systems, audio gear, some audio consoles. And I'm here, of course, as usual, on behalf of the folks at Telos. We're doing some training with our dealer here and seeing customers and things like that. So that's why I'm in Sydney. And at our venue where we're meeting and at the hotel, the bandwidth is just awful. So I checked in with Stephen. Hey, can I come out to the radio station?
Sure.
And your bandwidth here is what?
We've got the NBN, which is the National Broadband Network, which is fiber. So it's supposed to be about 100 megabits down and 40 up.
Wow. Well, we got a good picture back to GFQ in New York right now.
Yeah, it looks great.
All right. So here's what we're going to get into. On this show, for the last two or three days, I've been roaming around the SMPTE show and a couple other venues and interviewing some interesting people. So this show is not going to be just me and Stephen, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be some interviews with some industry shakers and movers and vendors, people who have some new and interesting technical offerings. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. Our show is brought to you in part by the folks at Lavvo, L-A-W-O, pronounced Lavvo. It's a German audio console manufacturer. And Lavvo has a very interesting product that they make for radio. Now, most of their consoles are these big, big consoles for television and big broadcast vans and installed sound systems. Well, they make a console series called the Crystal series. And we've been talking about a year now, I guess until you go check it out, the Crystal Clear console from Lavvo. Now, what's different about this console? Well, it's a touchscreen. And this is something that I find particularly cool because when I was a kid, seriously, probably honestly 20 plus years ago, I was friends with the folks at Auditronics. They were a console manufacturer in Memphis, Tennessee. And I told them, you know what, this is probably too cutting edge right now, but someday I think we're going to have touchscreen work surfaces. I mean, we have them at McDonald's.
Yeah.
We can order with them, and we have them for automation systems.
Yeah.
Like so
Wide Orbit.
Yeah. Years ago, I worked for Scott Studios, predecessor to Wide Orbit. We had touch screens, and I thought, why not make an audio console that's a touch screen, and you move the faders up and down? Well, back then, touch screens were only one touch. That's all they could decipher. Mm. But now, Lavo has a multi-touch touchscreen monitor that you run this app on. You kind of forget that Windows 8 is the underlying architecture on the app, on the surface, and it looks like a radio console. Mm. So you move your faders up and down. You can touch up to 10 things at the same time. Your buttons, you know, to turn on and off and set options or set trim levels or set EQ, those are all contextual. And that's a big word that means it does what you need it to do to, related to what you're doing at the time. It doesn't give you a bunch of options that you have to wade through. It shows you, you know, the things that you could do right now. And then the mixing engine for this resides in a one rack unit box. It's the engine part of the Crystal Clear console. And it's where you have some audio inputs and outputs, your mic inputs, analog inputs and outputs, your AES inputs and outputs, and it has an AOIP jack. In other words, it's got Ethernet built into it, so it'll operate the Ravenna standard, which also includes compatibility with AES-67, which is, you know, the new standard for audio over IP. So it's got the stuff you need to make a studio simple. Oh, you can also, if you need to move the work surface somewhere else, it's just a PC with a nice, beautiful multi-touch screen. So if you need to move that to a different room, you know, take it down, unplug it, move over, plug into the network, and guess what? You're back on the air controlling your console and all your sources. I'd like you to check this out. If this technology is interesting to you, a multi-touch touchscreen experience, go to Lavo, LAWO.com, and look for radio products. There's a video on the page about the Crystal Clear console, and it's Mike Dosh, their director for virtual radio products, and showing you all about the Lavo Crystal Clear console. Check it out. And thanks to Lavo for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. All right. We're going to explore this studio here in a few minutes. But first, I want to jump right into something very interesting. As some of you know, I do a little TV weather. Mm. And so I'm, you know, occasionally in a TV studio, and they've really changed the way that there's no more camera operators in TV studios nowadays. There are a lot of them. There's a floor director because I need direction. And then the rundown, the show, the news show, the weather, the sports is run by an automation system. So I had a nice conversation with Amanda with Ross Automation. So let's check that out right now. Amanda at Ross Automation from Simpty. Okay. Issue with the playback. All right, we'll get our crack engineers on that. Let us know when that's ready to roll. One thing that these automation systems do is you put the news rundown into the automation.
Right.
And then it controls the cameras and the shots.
And the plots where they, the positions.
Plots where they move. Yeah, if you have robotic cameras. Yeah. Okay, we're ready now. Let's roll it. Amanda, go ahead. Hey, it's Kirk Harnack. We're here at Simpty 2015 in Sydney, Australia, and I'm here talking to Amanda Layton. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific. Now, you were at the Ross Video booth, and I love this place because I'm a little bit familiar with Ross Video, with the TV work that I do from time to time. And tell me about the, you know, what you have here in the booth, and then we'll get to the technology a little bit, Amanda.
Cool. All right. Well, we've got a pretty big display here. We've got a full virtual solution, so we're showing our full virtual solution workflow over here. We're the only company worldwide that can provide you basically an end-to-end solution in that. So we can provide graphics, robots, design services, the user interface, everything.
Why don't we ask the camera to pan over here to the dolly systems and the robots. Tell us what we're looking at here with this camera that's moving left to right.
So you're looking at our Furio Robo. So this is one of the most accurate virtual or encoded camera systems that you can get on the market. So you notice there's a little red line down the side there. That's a wire draw, which means that it'll have the most accurate positioning that you can get. So what she's doing is it's moving on our robot system there with pre-programmed moves. And then if we actually looked at the monitor, you'd be able to see her position change in the set.
I think we can paint. Let's you and I walk over so the cameraman can go with us and look at what the camera is showing. Wow. It's got the weather there. I'm familiar with that.
It certainly does.
That's amazing. And then as it dollies to the right, It changes what the perspective of the
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll see we only have a really small space here, but if you're looking on the monitor, it looks like we're in a really open studio. So it allows a lot of flexibility for sites that are space limited to be able to give that illusion that they have a lot larger studios.
Now, let's talk about the tech that makes that happen for a second. So our engineering audience is kind of curious. Is there optical? Is there mechanical? What kind of positioning sensors and, what's involved with making a computer know exactly where that camera is?
Okay, so what we have is we have, as I mentioned before, we have the wire drawers, which know where the dolly is in the position.
Okay.
We also have the head is encoded and the lens is encoded. And that encoded data gets sent to what we call UX Track. That's a little piece of software that runs on our render engine. That changes that data into our render engine system. So in our graphic system, which is called Expression, you know exactly where the camera is in real life into when we put that positioning into a virtual camera. So in our render engine, we know exactly where it is, which means all the perspectives are correct and you can move around. And
I got the feeling that traditional television set builders need to learn how to build them in software.
Actually, you know what? They do. We have a customer on air here at the moment who employed a physical set builder to design it in CAD, and then they used a 3D designer to transfer that instead of physically building it to build it into a 3D studio.
Amazing. Amanda, thanks for your time. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
I'm Kirk Harnack at SMPTE 2015 in the Ross booth. All right, so Stephen Wilkinson and I are back at Hope 103.2 in the western suburbs of Sydney. So we're going to take you through a little tour of some other booths as well. How about that, Stephen?
Yeah, that would be great.
I think later on we've got an interview with you and Dan.
Yeah, that'll
be coming up. All right, next. I got to visit the Avid booth, and some time ago Avid acquired Pro Tools. A lot of you in radio are familiar with Pro Tools, and they had quite a display, and they've got a setup there that you probably wouldn't use in a typical radio station with that Atmos.
Yeah, you use it at home.
Yeah, use it at home. Let's run right to Avid and the Pro Tools video. Here we go. Well, now we're at the Avid booth here at SMPTE 2015, and I'm here with Daniel Lovell. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how are you doing?
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem. At all.
You've got a great access. It's an Auckland, New Zealand thing.
It is an Auckland, New Zealand thing, absolutely.
Now, a lot of people in radio use Pro Tools.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. It's a really nice production tool.
But what you've got here is really amazing. I guess it's more for television, the setup
not,
you have?
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of people use it for film, television, music mixing as well. It's basically a control surface for Pro Tools to give you hands-on control of the Pro Tools software.
On the sign behind here it says Pro Tools S6 and Pro Tools HDX. What are those things?
So the S6 is this control surface, which is pretty unique because its modular design means you can build it to your needs.
Yeah.
And we'll have a look at it in a sec. It's got great visual feedback as well to give you tons of information. But the HDX part, that's our DSP audio processing card. So what that does is your mixer and your plugins will run on that card to give you really low latency audio. Of course, we have native options as well, but usually the very high-end places are using the HDX card for the lowest latency and for really dependable playback.
Now, what's interesting about this particular display, and we'll do this in B-roll, no problem. Yeah. So you can keep on us, and then we'll B-roll the other stuff that I'm talking about. You've got a ton of Genelec speakers here overhead. What are we looking at?
What we've done is we've brought over our little Dolby Halo here, Dolby Atmos Halo. A lot of films are now being produced in Dolby Atmos, which is a 3D immersive format from Dolby. Mm-hmm. So what we've brought over is this one unit down the bottom here, which is the Dolby RMU, which takes panning metadata and audio and basically puts it into an environment, because obviously an issue with filming theaters is that every room is different.
Yeah.
But we want to give a really great 3D immersive feeling to the audio. So what Dolby's done is they've built this unit that will take a 9.1 bed and then adds 118 objects to that. And those objects are audio objects, but the panning is a metadata. So it can then take that 9.1 bed and go from basically 9.1 up to 64 speakers depending on the size of the room.
Oh,
geez. So Avid and Dolby work together on this really closely. We have a plugin that they've developed that we put into Pro Tools, which then controls the unit. So we have a really great relationship with them.
Cool. Now, if I want to build this speaker system at home,
there's actually home Atmos theater systems. What they do, obviously, mounting a speaker to the roof might be difficult, but they've got some really great technologies where your forward-facing speaker will also have an upward-firing speaker, and it will bounce off the roof and give you the appearance of having speakers above you. So it's more achievable than you might think at first. And the great thing about the RMU is it'll go from your Atmos mix down to 7.1, down to 5.1, down to stereo if you need to.
Okay. Now, if engineers want to find out more about this technology, where's a good place to start?
Dolby has lots of great information on their site, some really nice videos telling you about the format. It's kind of a hybrid format, as I said, 9.1 plus the objects. So it's got some really great information about that.
All right. At the website, what is it, Dolby?
I think it's just Dolby.com.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. You'll find it on Google, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're back. You're watching This Week in Radio Tech, and Stephen Wilkinson,
Hi.
Is here from Hope 103.2. I'm Kirk Harnack, and we're obviously in the studios at Hope 103.2. And we're here for the SMPTE show, the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers in Sydney, which is an every other year event. Well, tell you what, let's just jump right into the interview now with you and your dad. You and your dad, Peter? Came by our gathering place, which is happens to be the Bavarian Beer Cafe, and we had a chat there. And when we when we're done with that interview, we'll maybe review a couple things we talked about there. So, without much further ado, our crack technical team has this queued up and ready to go. Here's Stephen and his dad, Peter.
Hey, it's Kirk Harnack. We're here in Sydney, Australia, at the Bavarian Beer Cafe. They spell beer here like the Germans do, I guess, B-I-E-R. Well, and I'm standing in front of a rack of equipment, and I've got a couple of engineers here with me. We have Peter Wilkinson with Wilco Productions. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you.
I haven't seen you since a breakfast, I guess, a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago in L.A.
At NAB.
NAB.
Yeah, good to see you. And we have your son here.
Yes.
And that's Stephen. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Now, are you actively engineering, or do you leave that to him?
No, I'll leave that to him.
Okay.
He's supervising.
So, Stephen, you're the engineer at where?
Hope 103.2 in Sydney, Australia.
Big station, a big audience?
Big metro station for community station.
Yeah.
Christian community.
Yeah. Cool. So what we've had you on our show before talking about various technologies that you put to use there at Hope 103.2. What have you been working on lately?
Just in the last couple of months, we've transferred our on-air playout system to the RCS Zeta software.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that was converting from an older Dalet French system.
Yeah.
And so that was a major project.
Yeah.
So something like 95,000 audio files had to be migrated out of one system into the other.
Oh, my goodness. You know, when you get using an automation system and you've been ingrained with it for years.
Yeah, 17-something years was the old system.
And I'm guessing the file format's a bit different from one to the other.
It's a mixture of MPEG-2 and WAV files. So, yeah, we converted everything out as WAV files. And then had to migrate it into the Zeta software.
Wow.
So that was a big project.
Now, you know, of course, I work for Omnia. They're one of the show's sponsors. And you said that you've been playing with some new software on an Omnia product.
Yeah, so about a month ago, I installed the new 1.6 version of the Omnia 11 firmware. And, yes, big improvement on previous versions of the firmware.
Really? So
yeah.
What do you like about it? I haven't played with the 1.6 myself.
You get extra loudness because of the way that the 19 kilohertz pilot tone is embedded.
Oh, that's the one louder, the free 1 dB of loudness.
Yeah.
No extra, no more clipping, no extra clipping, no extra anything that crunches the audio. It's just a free decibel.
Yes, that's right. And it's a cleaner sound than previous versions from my experience of it. Yeah, it's been great.
Well, thanks for using the Omnia 11. I appreciate that.
That's all right. Thank you.
Hey, you were an early adopter of audio over IP in your studios?
Yes. We installed the Axia IP system in the end of 2007.
Wow.
It was our first 1.2 studios we did then.
That's almost 7 years ago.
I know, yes. And it's still going strong.
Wow. So, yeah. Is it still working?
Yeah, it's still working well. You know, we're at the because of the age, you know, we're now slowly swapping out, you know, putting in a new engine you know, over time. The system's going well.
Great.
It's been a great asset to us because we're not just an FM station. We also run a separate DAB Plus station. A couple of internet streaming stations as well. So, you know, there's four stations that we're running and have to route throughout our system. So the audio over IP routing has been a great...
It's good for that, yeah.
Pathfinder doing some fancy things.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been great.
Stephen, it's good to see you. Thanks for stopping by here.
Yeah, it's good to
see you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd come by to Hope 103, too. I don't know if I have time or not.
Yeah, we'll see.
And how do we keep you out of trouble, sir?
Oh.
Eat ice cream,
yeah.
If you follow Peter Wilkinson on Facebook, and you're welcome to look him up and follow him, he posts from every ice cream shop in Australia eating ice cream. And around the world.
Around the world.
Where were you most recently?
Where was the last time I was in?
Singapore, Vietnam.
Vietnam, yeah.
Eating Vietnamese ice cream. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, it's Kirk Harnack reporting from the Bavarian Beer Cafe in Sydney, Australia at Simpty 2015. Cool. It's great to see your dad.
Steve. Yeah, yeah. No, he's was a long time person at the ABC Radio here in Australia, which is the government funded station.
Now you were this. Obviously, your dad's a little up in age, but he was in radio at the time when live productions were a big thing.
Yeah, he was a sound effects officer. They called it like a Foley person in television.
Yeah.
And so he'd do all the horses' hooves with the coconuts and old reel-to-reel tape recorder walking through the undergrowth sort of thing. And,
oh, my goodness.
Pouring cups of tea, and
making the sounds. Yeah, oh, how great. Yeah. So I guess nowadays, if we still did or do much, drama, radio drama, we would have like an Instacart sort of thing, a playback thing.
So, Australian radio sort of, like all over the world, sort of stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of that work has been replaced by digital playback. So, yeah.
Or the wall of buttons or the wall of carts, the cart wall, button wall, whatever, on your automation system.
Yeah.
Hotkeys, that's the word.
That's right.
So we're in a studio here. Let's take just a moment to show folks the studio. We're going to have to stand right here to do it so we can get out of the way a little bit. Tell me what we're looking at here in this studio here at Hope 103.
That's the Axia Element console. And then the screens are the RCS Zeta software, playout software, that it's only been in operation here for the last 2 months. And then to the right, that's the Axia screen. And then to the right of that is the phone box, which is our call management for listeners calling up and competitions and that sort of thing.
And let's talk about phone box for a second. Phone box is an on-air call management system and involves both software and hardware. And, for years, Telos has made like self-contained talk show systems, right? Mm-hmm. But PhoneBox for years has had a little different idea on the mechanics of how that works out. Tell me about what's the hardware involved with this on-air system.
Yeah, so the original PhoneBox ran on its own, PABX phone system. So the software basically controlled the PABX.
No, my PABX, like Avaya or?
Yeah, Avaya PABX phone.
Okay.
Yeah. System. And
it's just a little business phone system that a small office might use, right?
Yes, that's right.
And the phone box system controls that.
Yes, through the software, yeah.
And then how does the audio get to your console?
So then it has POTS connections as like an extension that your hybrid connects to.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you get your audio.
Okay, so it's a business phone system plus telephone hybrids of whatever brand you happen to like.
Yeah.
And you've got a mixture here.
Yeah,
actually.
We've got some old Gentners, and then we've also got HX2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the phone box software just controls that, and you have an on-air phone system.
Yeah, and you're only using one hybrid, but you can have multiple, because the software is controlling the PABX phone system.
Yeah.
You then have multiple callers on air at the same time, but you're actually only using one hybrid.
Now, you mentioned that right now your telephone service coming into the building is a like an ISDN line.
Yeah, it's an ISDN, what we call in Australia, on-ramp.
We would call it PRI or a partial PRI.
Yeah, which has 10 incoming lines.
So the Avaya system converts that or uses that as its trunk from the phone company.
Yes.
Converts that into POTS and then switches the POTS outputs for the benefit of the hybrids that are connected.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so to me that's complex, but it actually works out pretty well. And the phone broadcast bonics guys who write PhoneBox,
they understand controlling the Avaya quite
yeah,
well.
And the Avaya is actually an IP phone system internally, and and it has handsets as well, so that you know you can control.
But it has PoTS ports that you're using for the hybrids.
Yeah, to get the audio out, basically.
Now I understand that but that system you're probably going to replace coming up.
Yeah. We're wanting to upgrade the phone box system to the latest phone box, which has the social media integration. So you know, these days you're not just having callers call in, you've got people tweeting and people Facebooking or SMSing. And so from what I've seen at the show, phone box then look just treats those like as if you've got callers calling in. And so you can set up, you know, a live caller, and then you've got a tweet there you can talk about and SMS, and then another live caller, and it just looks like, you know, a list of people that you're going to interact with.
Gotcha. You know, we've had on a previous Torch show a long time ago, we had Dan McQuillan, who owns Broadcast Bionics, and they've got just fabulous ideas about getting your listeners interacted with your hosts at the station, and then getting the results of that on the air and out in social media.
Because these days in radio, well, really, radio is multimedia now. That your listeners might not actually be listening to you on air. They could be listening to you on their smartphone, or they could be just in contact with the station just via your Facebook page. They might not even listen to the station, but they learn about content through Facebook page.
Or the, through Facebook or other social outlets, they may just partake of the highlights from, say, the breakfast show, the morning show that was posted after the show was over.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we put up video content on our on our website and promote that on Facebook, so that you know people go to our website due to that. So and yeah, that and then they find out about things about the station.
Cool. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, hey, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech. It's our 265th episode. We are in Sydney, Australia, at the studios of Hope 103.2, and we're in a studio where nobody else is right now. They got a breakfast show going on down the hall.
Yeah, the studio. This is, that's
right. Our show is brought to you in part by my friends at Omnia and a brand new audio processor that I got lucky enough to get my hands on for about a week. It's the Omnia 7. Oh, come to think of it, I now own one, actually part of one, and our station's
Which part?
I think I own the remote part. That's the only part I've actually seen. Our station's in American Samoa.
Yeah.
You know, just about 3,000 miles up the street there. We have an Omnia 7 in American Samoa. And I should tell you, the Omnia 7 is the newest audio processor from Omnia. It it has its roots in Leif Claesson's audio Omnia 9 processor. And they wanted to make one that was more affordable. So they took away the touchscreen because most of the time engineers are not at the transmitter site. So it has a beautiful screen on it, but it's not a touch screen. You can do everything from the front panel with a knob, but it's just not a touch screen. And then it does the work, though, with Leif Claesson's fabulous NF remote software that works just anywhere. I was at the Bavarian Beer Cafe remote controlling and checking the settings on my new Omnia 7 in American Samoa.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And when my business partner bought it, and he got a promotion where he got the free RDS upgrade. Oh. So it's got an RDS generator built into it. So I programmed that with our call letters and our slogan. And then I connected it, all this remotely, connected it to, we have the Arctic Palm Center Stage RDS software. So that aggregates our title and artist information from the automation system, plus puts in safety announcements and, you know, hug your kid today and that kind of stuff on the on the RDS. So I did all that remotely. Now, how do we get it installed? Well, we have a general manager at our station in Samoa. You may have done this with your general manager. Yeah. Could you plug this wire in here for me? Thank you. And move this wire over here. So we were off the air for about 20 seconds while he moved cables. And then we set an IP address on the Omnia 7. I set the router at the station to allow me to access it with a super secret port number and password. And now, you know, it's just amazing that you can do all this.
Yeah, I'd set up a processor remotely for a station down in Tasmania, which is, still a long way away. And, same thing. It's amazing being able to do that.
Yeah. Well, and the sound of the Omnia 7 is amazing. It has all the Leif Claesson stuff that goes in. It also has this technology where you can get On the Omnia 11, they're calling it One Louder, but it's got Omnia, it's got Leif Claisen's stereo embedder technology, which gives you a free 1 dB of loudness. You don't have to clip anymore or process any harder, but because of the way he embeds the stereo pilot, it's amazing. You actually get 1 dB of more loudness absolutely free. Well, you have to, okay, you have to buy the Omnia 7 or the Omnia 9 or the Omnia 11. Check it out. Go to the website at omniaaudio.com, which will actually forward you to the TELUS Alliance website, and click on Omnia and check out the Omnia 7. I guess the big news about the Omnia 7 is it's affordable. It's really affordable. In U.S. dollars, the list price is around $6,000. Contact your dealer for your price and see if they have any promotions going on. We got an RDS encoder upgrade for free out of that. All right, this is This Week in Radio Tech, episode 265. It's Kirk Harnack along here with Stephen Wilkinson. And we've got something to show you next. I got to speak with a lady here in Australia, Karen Oliver. And Karen has been the manager. She's been running a company called Innes Corporation for a long time.
Yeah, I know Karen. Yeah.
And who was the fellow who
John Innes.
John Innes, yes. Yeah, and didn't he design consoles and stuff?
And cards and a lot of electronic equipment.
Yeah, yes. I met John at a community radio meeting in Adelaide a few years ago.
Yeah,
great guy. So anyway, there's been some changes there. And you know, one brand of equipment that a lot of engineers don't know much about is Sonifex. It's not extremely popular in the U.S., but they make a lot of cool stuff that you ought to check out. So let's roll that. Here's Karen Oliver at Sonifex.
Hey, we're at the booth of Sonifex, and if you've ever heard of a company called Innes Corp, and I knew Innes Corp, it's now Sonifex, and we're here with Karen Oliver, who runs the whole place. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you, Kirk?
I'm great. It's good to see you.
Welcome back to Sydney.
Thank you. It's always nice to be welcomed here, and especially by native Australians.
Thank you.
Where's your office at, here in Sydney?
We're in Sydney, yes, at the northern end of Sydney.
All right. Now, your company has been both manufacturing and dealing in broadcast gear for decades, right?
Correct. About 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. When you were just a little girl.
I was. Awesome. Originally founded by John Innes.
Yes.
And hence the name Innes Corporation.
Yeah.
And a year ago, we came under new ownership of Sonifex in the UK, another very established business. They've been in business for 46 years. They were looking to expand. We were a small established company. They were very interested in the products we'd developed.
Yeah.
That's, you know, how the union happened.
Let's do a little walk and talk this way. Yeah. And I want to look at the Sonifex gear.
Sure.
And
yeah.
In a few minutes, John Abnauer is going to tell us about some Nautel gear.
Yep,
but
excellent.
The Sonifex gear is this beautiful red color. I see it at all the shows.
Yeah.
But I know so little about it.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about what we're seeing, like acoustic echo cancellation, audio
DAs? Yeah, that's actually
DAs?
A relatively new product.
Yeah.
Basically, Sonifex make a huge number of audio and video interface boxes. Mm-hmm. We like to call them, you know, digital glue products.
Yes.
And we are actually now distributing Sonifex in Australia. That's a relatively new role for us, even though we've been owned by them since July last year. It's only been from about April this year that we've taken over distribution, master distribution. So we're on a bit of a learning curve ourselves. Besides all these interface units, they have a range of signal LED signs. They can be customized to basically say anything. But they've proven very popular with the commercial broadcasters over here. They also have a range of confidence monitors, reference monitors, delay units.
Let's walk over this way. We got a great camera lady here. She's following right along.
Yep.
All right, what do we have?
She should be on film, not me.
What do we have here? Oh, these are blue.
Yeah, these are blue. These are the blue boxes, yeah. So this is the range of reference and confidence monitors.
Come on in here. So we have, so these have built-in speaker systems and LED monitors. You can choose, I'm sure, you know, different inputs from them and lots of LEDs here. What we have here, monitor, okay, so we have different source controls.
Yeah, what we have here is the expert from the company, Marcus, our new boss.
Hi, Kirk, how are you?
Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good, we're live. We have millions back in the U.S. watching right now. Tell us, give us the 1 minute overview here of these.
So we're looking at audio monitoring, visual monitoring, and audio monitoring. These units have analog and digital inputs, but also this one can take SDI input and de-embed.
Ah.
These are sort of reference monitors, so you can do some a bit of checking, so cutting left, cutting right, and doing phase checking and so on.
Ah, yeah.
So as a reference source. It's pretty good. These are basic monitors, just if you want to listen to that, there's something there. So this has two analog inputs, this has two analog and six digital. And then we've got visual metering. So they use these really bright prime LED, American brand, very good brand LEDs, which are super bright, so you can see them across the room. And again, single stereo channels, lots of metering formats, basically, yeah. So PPM, VU, everything that you need.
Real quick look at a very accurate look at what the audio is. Are there different ballistics available on these?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've got up to 9 different ballistics that you
I'm
can
just happy to know the word ballistics. I think that's so cool.
I'm impressed, you know.
Can we back up and see what these things
are?
Absolutely, I've never seen these before. What are we looking at
here? These are commentary units, so for sports grounds, so for football or soccer, or for tennis, something like that. So you've got commentators that will be talking and giving a commentary live, dedicated, so they've got talkback feeds back to the production gallery, and lots of features, basically.
So, I'm color me confused here. Okay. Would the talent have one of these in front of him, or would a local producer in the
Absolutely.
Booth have
it? So this is around the edge of the ground, so you'd have your talent talking into these.
Okay.
So, for example, this one, there's two commentary positions and one for a guest.
Okay.
So let's say a sports person comes up, they'll plug them into here, so you've got mic inputs on the front. And headphone selection, really, so they can listen to the referee, the sports ground, whatever's happening. So they're in full control of one of these boxes.
Now, here's an 8-channel talkback control unit. What does that do?
Okay, well, this is going to sit in an OB truck, and the producer will use one of these to talk to his cameramen and also to talk to the commentators as well. So this will sit in the truck, and these will be out on the side of the pitch, basically. So
cool. Awesome. Thanks so much, Marcus. I appreciate it very much. And Karen, I believe next we're going to hear about the transmitters.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, we've got a first for Australia anyway. We've got a brand new GB5 Nortel transmitter. It's the first one to come into Australia, so it's pretty exciting, and we've got it on display. And one of our Victorian network customers has already bought the unit, so it's pretty exciting for us. I was going to also say, Kirk, I don't know whether it will mean anything to the American audience, but as Innes Corp, we're actually one of the original SMPTE exhibitors from the get-go, the start of the show. So, we are rebranding as Sonifex, but hopefully we'll continue to exhibit here for many, many more years.
Everybody in Australia loves you.
Oh, thank you.
And here's John Abnauer. How are you, man?
I'm well, thank you.
It's great to
Welcome
see you.
To Australia.
You know, I feel like I've known you for, 35 years or so, because I used to get brochures from, I think, Continental, and they had your picture in them.
You're probably thinking of ITC. Now I'm going to date both.
Oh, gosh, that was a lot. Yeah.
No, that goes back to the 70s. That's right. It did have my pictures. I mean, they could have got better models, but...
Speaking of ITC, I always like doing my little ITC imitation. You'd call the number, and you'd get a lovely young lady who would say, "Good afternoon, ITC 3M. Do you remember her?
I do remember her, but I don't remember her name.
I don't either.
It's been too many years anyway.
I call just to hear her voice, you know.
Well, that was you.
That was me, yes.
That was you.
All right. What are we looking at behind here? GV5.
Our GV5.
That means great volume 5.
Green volume. Green V transmitter.
Green V, okay, all right.
This is Nortel's newest introduction to the FM transmitters. This is the replacement for the NV series.
Okay.
It's the GV5s. It's more G and green. The green, it's because it's more efficient. This transmitter is about 72% efficient AC into RF out.
Wow.
Which is up from 64 on the NV series transmitter.
Wow.
And
you can do some math on that and actually pay for the transmitter over time with your power bill.
You can. You actually can do that. And
especially if you're going from a tube transmitter to this or something else that's pretty inefficient.
It's even more remarkable on the AM transmitters. Oh. You go from some of those AM tube-type transmitters, you go from the 60% efficiency up to 90% efficiency. You can pay for it in a real hurry.
Wow.
Yeah. This transmitter is actually going to Ace Radio here in Australia.
Yes.
And it's one of the first GV series transmitters that we shipped here. We've shipped a great number of our NVLT series, which is very similar, but with some of the features missing. For example, the NVLT series does not have the front panel touchscreen, does not have a front door, has the same high efficiency and a lot of the other features in it. We probably deployed up to 40 or 50 of those transmitters in the country in the last year or two.
Cool.
And coming to the country as well is our...
Come on.
Newest introduction to the family, which is the NX5 and NX10 AM transmitters, which is the baby brother and sister of our renowned higher power NX 2550.
Yeah, there's a 50 right there.
There's a 50 and up to 400 kilowatts.
Yeah.
But Broadcast Australia, one of our better customers, and has a fleet of Nautel transmitters, has four of these on order to be installed at some
of
the stations.
You know, a lot of people love this this AUI. Mm-hmm. What's that stand for?
Advanced User Interface. They do.
Now, this one doesn't have that, but if you browse into it with your browser, it still has that?
That's correct.
Okay.
The NX5, NX10, we did not put that on the transmitter.
Yeah.
For the reason is we're trying to keep it cost down, because the cost, actually, of this transmitter is a bit less than the previous XR series. In our research, our customers have told us that they love the idea of the AUI.
Yeah.
However, they say that they only look at it whenever they go to the transmitter site, which is not very often.
Yeah.
But they do like it
remotely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's why it's not on the NX5.
I was thinking, with the money I save on buying this one, I can buy like a Lenovo Windows tablet and duct tape it to the front here, and then I'll have the display.
You could put it someplace else on there if you'd like to do that. Yeah, the NVLT series FM transmitter also does not have the AUI display. It's got the LCD screen, right. But you can still access it by web.
By web, sure. Sure. Right. Yeah. That, and at our stations that I own, we have a couple of Nautels as well, mm-hmm. and they have this kind of front panel,
right.
And then we just get into the AUI remotely or locally.
But, same on our lower power FM transmitters, which we see over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The VS series.
Yes.
Which, there's,
again, in fact, I've got one of these, and I've got one of these.
The 300 and the 2.5 kilowatt. Yeah. And, again, you got the same features, the same access to the AUI, but it's just not on the front of the transmitter.
So if folks want more information about Nautel, they would go to where on the web?
Go to www.nautel.com.
How easy.
Oh, how easy. or as if you're in Australia, go to one of our many, go to sonofx.com.
Yeah. Okay.
.com.au.
Sure.
Right. And I'll be happy to tell them anything they need to know.
All right.
There's
John,
a wealth of information on our website.
Thanks for the update, especially on the NV, the GV series.
GV series.
All right. We're at the Sonofx booth at SMPTE 2015 in Sydney.
And Kirk Harnack and Stephen Wilkinson are back at Hope 103.2.
Yeah.
Stephen, I realize now I've got plenty of interviews, so we're just going to just kind of move right on to the next one, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So next we're talking with Scott Inks. A lot of you may follow him on Facebook. He calls himself the Chief Optimist. Business is so bad, somebody's got to be the optimist. He's the Chief Optimist at BW Broadcast, and they make a lot of low-cost gear for broadcast.
Transmitters and processors. And, IDS units.
Yeah. So let's hear from Scott. We did an interview and featured a beautiful little transmitter that they're building. Let's check it out. Scott Inks at BW. Okay, well, we'll come back to Scott Inks at BW Broadcast. I'm not giving our production team enough time being between cuts. I'm sure they'll have that sorted.
Thread up the tape.
Yeah, that's right. Remember that? Threading up tape? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Did you ever? Oh, okay. I'm told we're ready to go. The tape is threaded and cued. It's up to speed. Here we go.
Hey, it's Kirk, and we are at SMPTE 2015, reporting from yet another manufacturer's booth. This is Scott Inks. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Kirk. How are you?
I'm great. You're the Chief Optimist?
Optimist. That is my official title.
At BW Broadcast.
That's correct.
So let's take a look at a couple of things that you've got on display here.
Sure.
I was real interested in, first of all, a transmitter that you have. It's right behind you. Let's walk over there and have a look at it. So this is a 2,500-watt transmitter?
Well, actually, it can be a 2,500 or a 3,500.
Oh, okay.
It's capable of about 4.2 kilowatts
Woo!
In hardware.
Okay.
But depending on how big the budget is of the customer, they can select 2,500 or 3,500 watts.
Now, to me, this looks like a pretty simple design. I mean, it's. I'm sure there's a lot that goes into this layout, but it looks so clean. Tell me about designing a 3,500-watt transmitter.
In fact, it's the same as designing any of our products. We try to make them incredibly simplistic.
Yeah.
So sometimes people look and say, hey, that's a bit basic. But actually, the less parts in a product, the less there is to go wrong.
Yeah.
So what do you want to know?
Well, okay, so look, I love getting inside of transmitters. Okay. All this is what? Power supply side and input side,
okay,
right?
So we've got two hot swap plug-in power supplies, which enables one, easy maintenance. Two, it provides redundancy.
Okay.
Okay. And they allow the customer to have an easy to service solution.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest problems I'm sure you're aware of is power supply spikes.
Sure, something goes bad.
Especially in emerging countries. So
yeah.
We wanted the customer to have the ability to change the power supplies easily. And if you're going to, rather than put one in, why not have two?
Sure.
Exactly.
And you can operate at a reduced power level just on one.
You can. It will run at half power.
So what's this board on the top now?
This board, actually, in keeping with our ethos of simplicity, is an integrated card which has analog inputs, MPX inputs, RDS inputs, AES inputs, and additionally, at no extra cost, a 4-band DSP audio processor.
Okay.
And it also has a 5-watt exciter card. And that 5-watt exciter card is what drives the power amplifier.
Okay, so the 5-watt RF comes out of that and goes over to what?
In this particular product, it goes over into a pre-drive stage, which takes the 5 watts up to about 20 watts.
Okay.
And then that is split across into 4 of the latest LDMOS rugged devices.
I was looking at those. These are these big wide things?
They are. But here's something really, really cool.
Yeah.
We're one of the only manufacturers, I think, if not the only manufacturer, that doesn't solder in our transistors. You can actually...
What?
You can take this board off, which is a gold-plated clamp.
Okay.
And with only a screwdriver, you can replace the transistors.
Holy moly, I have burned myself silly replacing RF transistors.
I think we are the only company that does that.
Whoa.
So you've got 4 of these LDMOS devices.
Okay.
They're capable of 1.2 kilowatts each.
Okay.
We run them in the 3.5 at about 850 watts each.
Yeah.
And then they go off into the combiner, into the low-pass filter, and out to the antenna socket.
Now, we're showing a close-up view of the combiner right now. Can you tell us anything about how this combiner works?
Well, it's a standard Wilkinson combiner. It's some tracks on a PCB,
yeah,
a very, very expensive RF PCB that takes 4 inputs, down to 2 inputs, down to 1, and then that drives into the low pass filter, which removes any harmonics that may be.
So that's these big coils here.
That's what they are, and the capacitors are printed on the PCB.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what comes out is fully FCC compliant.
100%.
All the harmonics are way down.
They're down past 80 dB. It's clean as a whistle.
Now I see on the back here. Am I seeing an Ethernet port?
You are seeing an Ethernet port.
What do you get? Do you browse into that or what?
There's a HTML5 web remote control.
Okay.
In a moment, I'll show you on my smartphone how you can connect to it.
Okay.
So you can control from an iPad. It's not flash. There's no flash requirement, like on some of the brands.
Right.
So you can connect to it from anywhere. There's SNMP, there's Telnet capability, the serial capability. There's a HTTP API, because I know some engineers like to integrate commands into their own systems to control products in their network. So it's pretty flexible from a communications perspective.
Cool. I can talk about transfers all day long, but you've got another piece that's open over here.
Sure.
Can we go take a look at that?
Sure.
All right. So this is a platform that you have been developing for some time now where you can, turn this chassis into a number of different products?
Yes. I'll just to bore you with some business logistics, we manufacture so many different products over the last decade that it was like, how do we support all these products? How do we buy all these components, stock them, manufacture 20,000 different boards? So we said, hey, let's consolidate. So we designed a new platform that we call Encore.
Mm-hmm.
And Encore basically is one hardware chassis with one set of common boards, and it can be an RDS encoder, a stereo generator, a multi-band DSP audio processor, an audio backup device, a rebroadcast receiver, an FM monitor, pretty much anything. The slots in on the cards, on the PCBs, to enable us to fit up to 2 tuners. They can be 2 FM tuners.
So we're showing a close-up here of the tuner board right
there's
now.
There's only one fitted right now, which is just an FM.
Okay.
But we have capability to put HD and DAB into the second slot. Or you could put 2 FM tuners.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Moving across into the digital board, I know you were pointing at that at the moment.
Okay.
We've got one fourth generation Shark DSP from Analog Devices that can do the basic RDS stereo generation and audio routing for our American viewers for the whole product. But we've actually got 3 extra slots to fit an extra 3 DSPs.
Yeah.
And as you'll see, I'm sure your viewers will get a close up of this. We have these little stamp DSP cards so that when you buy an Encore product, you can, at a later date, should we provide an additional feature, just put in a $50 additional cards, and they fit into these little slots as
well. Wow.
as we can see here.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. And let's come around, bring the camera around, get a look at the front panel. Actually, you've got this one that's open, and then you've got a whole rack full of devices with different looking front panels.
Sure.
So this part of your philosophy of a single platform with different capabilities?
Exactly. The PCB behind the front panel is exactly the same. The boards in the chassis are exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
The only differentiation is the machined aluminium, the position of the rotary encoder, the buttons, the overlay, and how many screens are in the product.
Yeah.
And the rest, as they say, as you know, is just software.
All right. Hey, we've got to wrap it up real soon here, Scott. But tell me, if people are interested in seeing your products, you have a website, I suppose?
Yeah, if you go to the www.bwbroadcast.com, then that's where you'll get the latest information.
Okay, bwbroadcast.com.
That's the one.
You guys are in England.
We are. We're based in London, England.
Dealers all over the world.
We do. And probably scmsinc.com is the best place in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Good deal. Scott, thanks so much for your time,
man. Nice speaking to you.
Appreciate it.
And have a good time here in Sydney.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kirk Harnack and Stephen Wilkinson.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
we're doing This Week in Radio Tech, episode 265 from Sydney, Australia. It's great to be here. And in order for the picture to come out right in the U.S., we had to turn the camera upside down.
Yeah, because the water goes backwards.
Yeah, and all that. I need to go flush a toilet in the station here.
Hey, I was going to say the BW Broadcast, the Australian distributor is Wireless Components, the Australian distributor here for any Australians
and
watching.
To translate that to American English, that's Wireless Components.
Wireless.
Components.
Okay. Wireless.
So you're a fan.
Yeah. A lot of small stations are using the transmitters. They've been very successful here.
Cool. All right. Hey, we've got two more quick interviews to do before our time is up. Let's roll right into the next one. I got to talk with a gentleman by the name of Andy McCutta from YellowTech. Now, YellowTech, you may know, makes those beautiful mic arms. Oh, you have them here. Yeah, these are really cool. By the way, they're finely German engineered. Don't ever take one apart because you'll never get it back together, ever. Have you ever taken one apart?
No, haven't.
Don't ever. If it breaks, just throw it away and get a new one. You don't want to take it apart. Oh, my gosh. But if you don't take them apart, they work fantastic. Yeah. What they also at YellowTech make a couple of other things. They make a little mixing console that's like a three-fader console.
Yeah.
And then they make this reporter's microphone. So here's Andy and me to tell you about that.
Hey, it's Kirk. We're back at SMPTE 2015, and I'm talking here with Andy McCutta. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. You're with a company called?
YellowTech.
That is a really interesting name. Now, YellowTech makes these beautiful microphone arms that stop people in their tracks when they go through a trade show, and they see these beautiful mic arms. They stop. Oh, what's that?
Yeah. You'll find the beautiful mic arms in almost all the nice recording radio facilities. It's very popular because it's not just a mic boom, it's a whole system.
Right.
So it's different types of monitor arms, mic arms, and accessories that can handle all the monitors and all the equipment you have.
So we at Telos use these mic arms, monitor arms, speaker holding arms in our displays. But today we're here to talk about something different. And this is a product that I've never gotten to play with very much. It is called the IXM.
Right.
And I always thought it's just a microphone with a recorder built into it. Mm-hmm. Oh, was I wrong? In fact, for this interview, we are using this microphone. So all the audio you're hearing was recorded on this mic and then in post-production striped in later. But the audio from this microphone is amazing. Tell me what's built into this mic that makes it amazing for reporters and people who aren't audio engineers.
Yeah. The point is, this microphone is particularly designed to record interviews. And to record interview is a very special thing because you never know what you get. You never know how loud your interviewee will answer your questions, how loud the environment is.
Yeah.
And what we designed technology we call Layer. And with the Layer engine, we control the recording level. That means whatever you do in front of the microphone, you will get a perfect flat recording level. So I talk with my normal voice, with normal level, but also I can shout. I can shout very, very loud, or I can whisper, and the recording level stays the same. And this is the important thing, because most of the journalists have no technical background.
Right.
There are journalists. The focus is to ask them the right questions, getting the right answers,
right,
but not the technical side of the interviews. And we make sure that they have the freedom to be fully concentrated to their main task, and we do the rest. The microphone here is perfect to handle all the audio of the interview.
And if you've just heard the audio, then you know how well this thing actually worked. And you couldn't do that with a normal cheap flash, you know, recorder. It doesn't have that kind of processing in it. Yeah. Now, we're not going to turn the mic off, but maybe you could tell me a couple of the features that are built into the mic. You showed me earlier about how this mic connects to your smartphone.
Yeah, we have a built-in Wi-Fi connection, and with this Wi-Fi connection, you are able to use an iPhone to first to choose the file you want to use and to transfer the file from the iPhone straight to your station.
Yeah.
So this makes it very, very fast. 5 minutes after the interview, the file can be at your station.
And in the app, you have the ability to do a little trimming, the head and top and tail, so you get the right start point, end point. And this allows the reporter to send a finished interview back to the studio, or nice parts that can be easily edited then at the studio if they need to do that.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's not a full editor, but it is an editor to make the basic things.
Cool.
Right after the interview, you check the start and the end point of the interview, change the name, and send it to the station via Dropbox, via FTP, or via email.
I noticed that on the mic itself here, it says powered by Beyerdynamic, so you have a high-quality cardioid microphone in here, and then the electronics are of a Yellowtech design, including that layer technology you mentioned.
Right, right. So the hat comes from Beyer because they had much more experience in designing microphone hats. And the electronic comes from us. We have three patterns available. There's an Omni, a cardioid, and a supercardioid available.
Okay.
So, and two types of mic hats, the Beyer, and we have our own mic hats.
Yeah.
So with the Yellowtech hats, they sound a bit different. The Yellowtech hats are dynamic, and that's our condenser mic hats.
Plenty of options no matter what you need. That's it. So that's the Yellowtech IXM. The website would be what?
www.yellowtech.com.
Cool. Hey, we're at live, or recorded, I guess, at SMPTE 2015. I'm Kirk Harnack along with Andy. Thanks a lot, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Okay.
So if you didn't notice, we were actually using that microphone's recording as the audio.
It's amazing. I had a demo of it as well, and it's just, oh, wow. It records, you know, multiple versions of what you're at different levels. And then it within it, it processes it and picks the best version and pieces it together. It's just,
wow. And isn't that the worst thing when you go out and get some audio? And you notice that mic didn't have any controls on it for level. No. You just hit record and talk.
Record, that's it.
And it's going to, whether it's, you know, down here or up here, it's going to be right.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Hey, let's quickly, we're running low on time. So the last interview that we did, I spoke with a gentleman from Holland, Raoul Riedel. And, you know, I in the U.S., where I'm from, we're very U.S.-centric about traffic and billing and monetization and things like that. We don't have to deal with other currencies. I guess maybe if you're a Canadian station, you're going to deal with some exchange rate. If you're one of those Mexican border blaster stations, you might end up dealing with an exchange rate. But in Europe, you've got other countries all around, and some are on the euro and some are not.
Yes, that's right.
So, had a great conversation. Check this out. Even if you're in engineering, you need to know about the possibilities here. This is Raoul Riedel with Riedel Software, and it's a short interview, but check it out. Kind of important.
With Ian Gunn. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Oh, that was Ian. Sorry.
And you.
And you are representing, or you work with a company that I don't know much about, but I see it here and there in usually the finest newsrooms.
The finest newsrooms.
It's Burly, B-U-R-L-I,
Burly. So it is. It's a newsroom system for broadcast and for, you know, digital journalists these days.
Yeah.
It started in radio, and that's still where a lot of our strength is. And it's a newsroom system, so it brings in the sources that you'd expect, news wires, the AP, those kinds of things.
Oh, so it actually brings in external text sources?
Brings in external text sources, external audio sources, RSS feeds, websites, those kinds of things. Social media as well. So it puts all of that stuff in front of a journalist so that she or he has an idea of what's going on in the world.
So help me with an idea here. Let's say I'm a journalist working on a story, and I'm familiar with Burly software. I use it every day to help me write my stories and get sources and quotes and things like that. What's my workflow? Let's say I'm doing a story on, new traffic laws in Vancouver.
So the it kind of depends on what you're doing, but the short answer is, I mean, if you've got a reporter in the field, he or she's got some kind of mobile device with her, like a little IXM microphone or something, and they send from the mobile device, they will upload it, it comes straight into the newsroom system, so you sitting there as an editor at the desk, you're going to be able to see that material come in, text and audio and photographs if those are attached as well,
okay.
and throw those into your newscast. And they'll show up in the right order, and they come up in the studio. You'll see the text in nice big print, and then you can read it right off the screen in the studio and push play in a nice big button in front of you on the screen. And it then plays out over the radio. But then when you're done with it, then there's a thousand other places you can send it to. You can send it to websites. Yeah. You can send it to social media. You want to upload that. You got that photograph, and you want to put it on the website. You want to send it as a tweet. Tweet effectively says new traffic laws details on at 104 FM in 20 minutes and a photograph of a car being towed away or whatever that photograph was. So I mean it's a radio newsroom and you got a radio reporter with a microphone and all the rest of it, but they're taking photographs these days and they're sending them out, and so much of what you do now is it involves the broadcast and the live broadcast, but maybe pre-recording something and sending it to your other stations across the network, and then being a part of social media and getting that news presence out there, and kind of being a news authority these days doesn't just mean being a great radio news station. It means letting people know on other platforms like Twitter and YouTube.
So Burley Software, it started out as basic newsroom software with text mm-hmm. and audio, mm-hmm. has grown along with the way that newsrooms have grown and all the outlets you need to push to.
Absolutely. And news gathering has changed. I mean, mobile phones, I mean, your iPhone and things like it have really fundamentally changed beat reporting for people from the smallest towns to the biggest markets on the planet. A lot of them are carrying iPhones now. And so you've got a video camera, you've got a still camera, and you've got an audio recorder all in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it's live online basically the whole time with, 4G LTE stuff. And so getting stuff, filing stuff back and having it, and then moving on to your next story without having to get in the news crews or drive back to the studios, it's changed everything.
If a radio or other broadcaster, radio station or other broadcaster buys a Burley newsroom software package, what is the engineer likely to be doing to help get that in? I guess audio and IT connections and things like that?
Yeah, so you've got your incoming sources, some of which come in over the internet, some of which are coming locally, just people typing at a keyboard and stuff. And then it's networked together. Mm-hmm. There'll be a server hiding behind the scenes in a rack room somewhere, and then it's standard desktop PCs.
Okay.
And then when you get into the studio, you're linking together with audio over IP and talking to those drivers and that kind of stuff.
So. Okay, cool. Yeah. So if people want more information on Burley, B-U-R-L-I, newsroom software, where would they go have a look?
Burley.com, B-U-R-L-I.com is a really really good place. And we've got offices and resellers worldwide. So look for your local office.
Ian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. This is Kirk Harnack at SMPTE 2015.
So I introduced the wrong interview. I'm going to have a chat with the producer of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, as quickly as they can re-rack the big VTR in New York, we're going to go and talk to – and by the way, that was Ian Gunn. And for newsroom operation, oh, my goodness, Burley. That Burley stuff.
Yeah, it's great for editing.
It is so awesome. And Ian's a nice guy to talk to. Mm. If you got a newsroom operation, he will help you figure out, get your workflow down.
Yeah, and your scripts and everything all in there.
And the scripts can be on your phone. So if you're doing a live report, it can be on your phone, scroll right up. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. All right, now we're going to talk to Raul Wiedel about international traffic and billing, the money side of things. Here we go.
Hey, we're here talking with Raul Wiedel. Hi, Raul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Good to see you. So we're at the SMPTE 2015, and Raul, you are here with AVC.
Yes.
And showing off some really amazing software that Wiedel Software develops.
Yes, that's right.
Tell me about your software packages.
We do basically traffic and billing systems. So we do the financial part of the radio station. And we have a couple of other options, packages around that, like a CRM system and a proposal management system.
Now, there are a number of other traffic and billing systems on the market.
Yep.
What makes your ideas different than some others?
Well, first of all, we are an internationally based traffic and billing system, so we specialize in customizing our software for several markets in several countries. Mm-hmm. We deal with international tax regulations, different accounting systems in several countries.
So you can take into account different taxing systems, different laws, and maybe different currencies?
Yes, that's right. We are currently in about 20 countries, like Asia, Latin America, North America, but mainly Europe, because we originate from Europe.
Ah, okay. Well, whereabouts in Europe are you?
We're in Holland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you have some involvement in some radio stations yourself.
Yes, that's right. I own some radio stations also in Holland.
You know, I'm a part owner of some stations. I own the part that doesn't make any money. How about you?
Me too, yeah.
Tell me about your experience as a broadcaster then.
Well, I started in pirate radio in Holland about 25
what?
Years ago.
In pirate radio?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, cool. We got a lawbreaker here. Go ahead.
And started applying for local licenses when I was younger, and that grew into the station that is now.
Wow. Do you have one or more stations?
It's one network with 10 local advertising splits.
So what kind of programming are you playing?
It's dance and house music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that how is that to sell? How's your sales staff sell that format?
That's pretty good, because Holland is one of the countries where dance music originates from. Most of the famous DJs like Armin van Buuren or Tiësto, they come from Holland. So so it's a pretty good market in
Are these FM stations?
Yes, all FM stations.
Okay, and do you have a streaming presence as well?
Yes, that's right.
So if we have so many people in our audience who love to check out the streaming stations, where would people find your stations on the web?
Okay, that's on fresh.fm.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Fresh.fm.
Yeah.
And I take it that you probably use your own traffic and billing software.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So if people do want more information on your multinational, multi-tax, multi-currency, fantastic traffic and billing, where would you find that?
They can go to weedlesoft.com.
Weedlesoft, W-E-D-E-L, soft.
S-O-F-T.com.
Cool. Hey, Raul, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And good luck with your stations.
Okay, you too.
Okay. This is Kirk reporting from the SMPTE 2015 in Sydney, Australia.
And we're still in Sydney with Stephen Wilkinson here. Hey, our final sponsor is Axia. And I want to tell you something I just found out about 3 days ago. This was significant information for me. I didn't know. So we've been talking a lot about Livewire, the original audio over IP for broadcast that was invented at Axia. And we've talked about AES-67, the new standard for audio over IP that all manufacturers can build to and give you interoperable audio systems. The little downside of AES-67 is that it doesn't come with all the goodies that you want to have to make establishing a studio convenient, like source advertising and just convenient click, click, click to get something going, or GPIO. It doesn't have that built into the standard. So now the folks at Axia have something called Livewire Plus. What does that mean? I work for the company. I didn't actually know this until a couple days ago when Greg Shea, our chief science officer, explained it. Here's what Livewire Plus is. It's Livewire plus AES-67. Now that seems duh obvious, but here's what does that imply? What does that mean? What it means is that you get all of the conveniences of Livewire. You get source advertising. You when you want to make a connection or an audio route, you hit a drop-down button, you pick from a list, you click it, bam, the route is made. You get GPIO, so you can have contact closures go across the studio, across the facility, from the top floor to the bottom floor, and even out the door. So you can have convenient GPIO and other control messaging. And you get that plus you get AES-67 compatibility. So it's just that AES-67 becomes another stream type within the Livewire world. So you get all the stuff that Axia built into Livewire to make it convenient, and you get this new standard, this international standard of interoperability on the audio side. So Livewire Plus, I'm telling you, I didn't realize the significance of what that meant until just recently. We're going to have Greg Shea back on the show again in a few weeks, and he's going to reinforce what I said about it here in this commercial and give you even more advantages of why Livewire Plus includes AES-67 and how that makes your life a lot easier as an engineer. And as an engineer, I'm interested in my life being easier.
Yeah.
So we can take just a second. You have a Livewire Axia facility here. How long has this been in operation?
Since 2007.
Oh, goodness, that's about 8 years.
Yeah.
So you got some old consoles here.
Yeah, these were the first
This is the first studio that we're in that was actually fitted out with it.
In Australia?
Well, it's about, we're about the third station, I think, in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this idea of audio over IP live wire, has this, I mean, have you noticed that this has been convenient for you? Saved you some trouble?
Oh, well, as well as just running a couple of, Cat6 cables and not multi-cores of cable. Just the routability is just, that's the best thing about it.
Do you ever do remote access from home and fix a little problem or make something that, the PD forgot to tell you, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, we need this routed in here today?
Yeah, that's it. It's so easy to route, remotely do things, and we set up Pathfinder to do multiple things, so, yeah.
And now, I think you said, do you have an X node here at this point?
Yeah, we've got one X node.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we no longer make the legacy nodes. We have an X node now. So that, with the updated software, will do AES-67. So if you were to, I notice you've got some Genelec speakers here. I keep hearing rumors that Genelec is going to make speakers that have AES-67 on them. Okay. So when you need to feed them directly with AOIP, it could come from that X node and be AES-67.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah, cool. All right, so thanks a lot to Axia for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. And check out LiveWire Plus. There's actually a web page that describes it. Maybe I need to read that web page again and fully get it, because now I get it. It LiveWire Plus simply adds AES-67 as another stream type to the already uber-convenient world of building studios with LiveWire. So LiveWire Plus, check it out at telosalliance.com. Click on Axia and check out this LiveWire Plus page. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's really amazing. All right, we are done here. Stephen, thanks for your hospitality.
That's okay. We've got to get back to SMPTE.
We do. We do. We got some programs to go to and things to learn and teach.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've been broadcasting live here from Hope 103.2 in the Seven Hills area in West Sydney with a great internet connection. Thanks so much to Andrew Zarian back at the GFQ Network headquarters in New York. And I appreciate him very much keeping up with my mistakes and getting all these videos on and lower thirds. Thanks so much, Andrea. I really do appreciate it. Next week, Alex Koziorek, I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I'm sure he'll slap me and correct me, will be a guest on the show, and he'll be talking about recording technique that is just stuff that we need to know as engineers, and I think a lot of us have forgotten because we don't do it very much. But Alex is going to be here, and so we'll see you next week. Thanks to our sponsors. Please patronize them and tell your friends about This Week in Radio Tech. Also, subscribe. That way you'll get the podcast downloaded automatically into your device. You don't have to worry about forgetting it. You'll have it with you wherever you go. If you're in the car, on the train, on the bus, on the way to the transmitter site, hanging around the top of the tower, you can listen to it and view it there. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody.